You know, there's nothing that God cannot do. What He wants to do by our unbelief, because we don't believe that He will do what He said He would do. And sometimes we blame God for our own unbelief. Jesus said, just believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Let me know if you really believe God, it will require a step of faith. It requires action. It's not enough just to give an intellectual assent to something I believe is true. It's when I believe in Him, I believe that what He tells me is absolutely true every time. What He says is true. I believe God's word. I don't believe my own assessment, but I do believe His. I do believe what He says. You know, we've all had people tell us things and they didn't follow through on what they told us or what they promised us. But God is not like that. We need to make sure that we're listening to the right voice, that we're eating at the right table. The enemy likes to offer cheap alternatives to make you feel full, and yet, little by little, you're starving to death. You're dying on the vine because there's a disconnect. He's good at distraction, you know, offering us, call it idolatry, other gods to bow down to. If you feel a sense of emptiness in your spirit today, how many know that the world will temporarily fill you, but it'll leave you emptier than ever? But Jesus is the only one that can truly satisfy the deepest longings of your heart. And it comes to a place in our lives where we have to trust Him with us. Say, Lord, I'm going to take the step and I'm going to start believing and listening to Your voice. And faith is more than just agreeing with something that's true. It means that I will act upon what I believe. Faith is active. Faith has evidence. Faith has substance. Faith has works. Oh, we don't know about that works thing. Yes, faith produces good works that you won't regret. You can spend yourself on good things and come up empty if it's not God's thing. The enemy likes to offer us all kinds of alternatives and replacements and counterfeits, even involving you in things that God never told you to do, so that you will spend yourself on something that is fruitless in the end. That makes sense? We need to discover the heart of our Father. And the Father's heart cannot be learned in a classroom. The Father's heart has to be experienced. You have to have a revelation of who the Father is. And that revelation, He is revealed to us by His Holy Spirit. God reveals Himself. The Spirit searches the things of the Father, amen, and reveals them to us. And that's why sometimes people are constantly, you know, in Bible studies and running to this meeting and running to that meeting, and yet they never seem to change. They just seem to stay the same all the time. Nothing ever changes. When you encounter Him, when you experience Him, you change. When you see Him, you change. When you hear Him, you are changing. Amen? Not when I'm just doing stuff for Him, but when I'm walking with Him, I am changed in the process of that. This is a cooperation. It's a cooperative effort. Jesus, you know, some people, and you hear it, and I know what they're saying. We're trying to be careful not to give the glory to ourselves, but to give all the glory to God. And some people will say, it was nothing about me. It was all God. You know, that's false humility. Yes, it's false humility. Because it is an agreement that we have We enter into covenant with the Lord. We walk with the Lord. We agree with the Lord. And we do the work alongside Jesus. And He uses us as a vessel. So it's not just all God. It's you and Jesus walking together. And the manifestation of His glory and His power, amen, is seen and experienced by others. So it's not accurate to say it was all God. No. If God gave you gifts, praise God for those gifts. But you have to activate them. You have to utilize what He's already given you for it to be real faith. See, some people are just sitting around waiting. One of these days, the angel's going to come and stir the water. Or something's going to, you know, drop out of heaven. And then I'll know, well, Jesus has already told us what to do. He's already authorized us to go in His name. What's the problem? Well, God, if you move me, He says, you're supposed to move. I'm already moving. You got to move with me. And when you move with me, we'll do this thing together. Take my yoke upon you. Yoke up. Link up with Him. Let's do this thing together, He says. I'm not leaving you alone. You're not an orphan. You're a son. You're a daughter. Let's do this. Let's do life together. Get yourself out of the driver's seat in that sense. Jesus, take the wheel. Well, guess what? He takes the side of the wheel. You got to grab a hold of that wheel too. You say, hey, I'm up here. What are you doing back in the back seat? I want you up here riding with me. We're doing this thing together. I hope that corrected something today. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're so humble, we're proud of ourselves sometimes. You've heard that before? But, you know, it can be a false humility. It's like, you know, you've heard it said, somebody compliments somebody about the song they sang, you know. They compliment somebody for a song and they say, oh, I had nothing to do with it. And I know what they mean. They mean just to, you know, they're being careful that they're not taking the glory upon themselves. But actually, you did have something to do with it. And I heard somebody say once, well, if that was God, it would have been a lot better. If that was exclusively God, it would have been superior. Come on, somebody. But we have a cooperative effort. We work together. In our infirmities and our weaknesses is His strength. In our inability is His ability. This is the awesome thing, is God chooses you and I, the foolish things of the world, to confound the wise. Amen? The things that are not. And so the people will say, well, isn't this the carpenter's son? I can't believe that's actually coming out of their mouth. There used to be all kinds of strange tongues coming out of that mouth. And now they're speaking a whole different language now. What has happened to you? Well, I have a new normal now. What used to be normal is now abnormal. I have a new normal. And the world's not going to understand me, and that's okay. As me and my Father, as long as we're tight, we're doing this thing, we're walking this thing together. Amen. I'm staying connected to the head who is Jesus Christ. Yep. We're going to get the job done together. And the day will come when the Lord will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. By the way, thank you for coming today. Thank you for being with us. And are you glad you didn't listen to that other voice? Some of you probably were fighting with another voice this morning saying, sleep in, won't miss you. The devil's a thief. The devil will come along and say, here, feed on some junk food. Turn on the television. Fill yourself up on this garbage. You'll feel satisfied, but you'll be empty. And you'll be starving to death and not even realizing it. You ever notice that other people usually realize that we're backslidden before we do? We think we're doing fine. And they're like, man, we need to pray for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. They're in this false delusion. They just think everything is rosy in their world, and it's not. We need to let Jesus decide whether things are right. Amen. You're not saved by the grace you give yourself. Good job. You're saved by the grace that only God can give. And the validation, the approval comes from the Father who says, my son, my daughter, I'm well pleased. You know why He could say that about Jesus? It's because Jesus always did the Father's will. He always listened. He always obeyed. He did what he saw his father do. He spoke what he heard his father speak. He's like, well done. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't go by his feelings? If he went by his feelings, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. But it was his love for us that put him there. He was motivated by the love, amen, that was in him. Jesus the man, but Christ was in Jesus, amen. Jesus the Christ. Man, Jesus, Christ, God. God incarnate. God, amen, revealed in the flesh. And that is amazing how the Father was the validation there. And I say this often, folks, because we need validation. But where you receive your validation is very important. Because if you're seeking the world to approve you, to validate you, you will compromise. You won't live right. You won't live holy. You won't live for God. You'll live for the approval of people. And when you're trying to live to please people, you end up selling out to people. And people are influenced by the wicked one. And so are you and I if we don't stay connected to Jesus. Well, Father, we just thank you today for this moment, where we can be here. And God, we just pray that you would unveil our eyes today to really see you, the true God. To know you is eternal life. Father, I pray that our hearts will be converted. Convert our hearts, Lord. Transform us. Make us like you. Lord, recalibrate anything that's off in our lives, in our hearts. Set us straight, Lord. Make the path straight before us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you are doing, what you are saying today. Draw us into you in Jesus' name. There's so many things that I want to do. Maybe you feel the same way. There's so many things that you want to do. But then there are the things that God tells me to do. And those are the things that matter. Those are the things that are eternal. When we are obeying the Lord, and sometimes the Lord is going to interrupt our schedule and the thing that we want to do, and he's going to download something. He's going to give us a word. And he expects his people to listen to his voice and say, okay, Lord, my plans were to do this, but you're telling me to do this, and so we're going to do this together. You know, I've said this a lot, but every time we are in agreement with the Holy Spirit, we're in life. But when we get out of agreement and we decide, I'm going to do my own thing, thank you very much, we get back into death. You get that? We're in life as we abide or continue, as Jesus said, in him. We're in life. Our lives are to be directed or led by the Holy Spirit. These are the sons of God, those who are led by the Holy Spirit. So we're learning how to walk and navigate together through life with Jesus, who is greater, amen, than any problem we face, any difficulty, any opposition. Jesus is greater. He gives us the supply of grace that we need to overcome every obstacle that stands in our way and to accomplish the will of God and to do so with joy. How many have discovered that when you're in obedience with God, there's joy in your life? There's a sense of satisfaction when you're obedient to God. But when we're not, there's something that seems to die inside. And we get dry and we get, you know, listless, if you will, spiritually speaking. And again, you know, others around us will know that something has gotten off, you know, in your life. You know if I'm messed up, right? I can't hide. And some of us are good at hiding, but God sees, right? Some of us aren't so good at hiding what's really going on. You know, we're just kind of wearing it on our shoulders or whatever, and people see it. But God sees even those who are really good at hiding things, you know, and convincing everybody around them that, hey, we're doing good. You know, it's really suspect when somebody starts overemphasizing how good they're doing. When we start boasting about how good we're doing, It means we're full of ourselves. We can say, thank you, Jesus, by the grace of God, I'm doing well today. Amen. When we start boasting about how good we're doing, it means we're really thinking that we did it. And then we can't do anything apart from His grace. You and Jesus together, you can accomplish, you can overcome, you can do all things through Christ. Amen. Who strengthens us, right? You know, as a pastor, my desire is to see people transformed. You know, I don't want to just see emotional decisions at an altar, you know, but I want to see transformation of the character of the inward part of that person. Amen. When your character is right with God, when your inward man is right with God, the external man will also bear the fruit of that. Isn't that true? Now, you can be, you know, in a sense, spiritually disconnected with God, but then you can act very godly for people to see. But Jesus calls that, what? Hypocrisy. A hypocrite is an actor. A hypocrite is one who knows they're not really right, but they don't want anybody to know they're not right, so they play a really good game at convincing people around them that they're just so spiritual and they're so good. As a matter of fact, I can jump the highest. I can swing from any chandelier. I can even do holy cartwheels in church. I don't suggest you do it in this church, but you might hurt yourself. This floor is a little unstable. But, you know, sometimes we're even overcompensating because we know really down inside it's not really right. But we don't want anybody to think that we're not right because we're afraid someone will judge me. You know what? If bad fruit is hanging off your tree, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yep.
I don't have to. I'm just looking at the tree and say, man, that's bad fruit. You're judging. No, I'm saying you're just. If there's bad fruit, man, get the tree right. Amen. Just don't get over yourself, because, you know, the part of us that's in us that rebels against correction is the part that has to die. It's the part that's in rebellion to God. That is not supposed to be the part of us in control. If we're truly filled with the Spirit and in right place with God, when we hear truth, even when it stings, we say, thank you, Lord, for the truth. The truth sets me free, keeps me free, too. But when I hear truth and somebody is like, Jesus is touching me in that spot, I don't want him to touch me, I get mad. It means that you're just full of yourself. Did I hurt somebody's feelings yet? I'm working on it, but. Hey, we're in this together, right? We're helping each other. We're here to help. You got to get real. You got to get honest about yourself. Where am I really at? Am I just pretending to be somebody I'm not? Or am I living who I really am? Is the fruit on the outside, amen, a result of that which is in the inside? Or is it false fruit? Is it just plastic apples and plastic bananas? You know what I'm talking about? You ever bite into one of those things? They look so real. Oh! Don't recommend it. It don't taste very good. But that's false fruit. You can't eat it. It doesn't benefit anybody. Amen? But we want to be real. We want to be authentic. There's a man named A.W. Pink. Anybody have heard of him? He said this: there's no such thing as belonging to Christ and living to please self. Make no mistake on that point. There's no such thing as belonging to Christ and living to please self. So, don't raise your hand, but how many of us here live to please ourselves? Everybody's hand should be going up. Yes, we do. And very often I'm not saying we continually live that way, but often we are living to please ourselves. The flesh wants to be satisfied. The flesh wants to, you know, be coddled. But Jesus says you have to deny yourself to be my disciple. And he said, if you lose your life in this world, then you'll find it. And so there's a part of us that wars and says, I don't want to give up control. I want to be Lord. That rebellious part. That's the part that has to be starved and denied every day. So that we can walk in the Spirit. And we can have life and peace. We can have confidence towards God. Amen? We'll have boldness in our witness. The righteous, those who are truly in right standing with God, are as bold as lion. Because the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts and there's no fear. They're not afraid of people. It's getting quiet. We struggle with that, don't we? Let's be honest. Anybody here been afraid of somebody at least once in your life? Okay, good. So, we struggle with this thing called fear. But fear does not come from God, does it? No. It's in our fleshly part. And so, the love of God is the solution to fear. Because the love of God, what? Casts out all fear. And so there, our confidence is got to be in God and not in my own ability. Because the fruit that I produce in and of myself is the fruit of death. Even though it may appear to be beautiful, it gives no life. But the fruit that is a result of God working through my life is life-giving. It refreshes, it nourishes, it strengthens, it heals. So I've got to allow God to be Lord of my life. To deny myself when somebody offends me, there's a part of me that wants to get even. I have to deny myself and say no. I'll pray, take it to the Lord in prayer. I'll let Him deal with it. Amen? You want to get angry, you want to get offended, you want to hang on to something, somebody offended you, and so you're going to hold on to that thing and you're going to be mad at that person, and every time you think about them, well, you wish this would happen to them. You understand? That's the part of you that has to die. Do you understand that if we are in the Spirit and we continue in the Spirit, then we are in the armor or the protection of God. And the love of God, amen, is the strongest force in the universe. The devil cannot touch somebody who is in right standing with the Lord. But the enemy wants us to shift allegiance. He wants us to be strong in ourselves. He wants us to be confident in ourselves and not confident in Christ. And so they introduce, even in the church, these self-esteem doctrines and gospels that put the emphasis on you and esteeming yourself and making yourself important and making it about you instead of Christ and His mission. And in that place, there's no grace except the grace we give ourselves. But the grace that we give ourselves cannot save. And folks, there are many people who have given themselves grace, and on the day of judgment, they will not stand because they have not known the grace of God, because they have refused to repent that they might be converted and that their sins might be blotted out. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he what? Is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. When Jesus came to this world, everybody was in it for their own gain. The word agape had been scratched from the language, the Greek language. It was no longer in use. Everything was about me. Sound familiar today? The money changers were in the temple. It was all about them getting gain. Amen. The Pharisees, they went around looking for people to praise them and greet them in the marketplace and said, Rabbi, Rabbi, or Apostle, Prophet, Evangelist. Don't call me brother, call me. Right? And we only reserve these front seats for the elite among us. The chief seat in the synagogue. The Pharisees, they wanted the praises of people. They wanted people to recognize them and esteem them as being maybe a little higher than everybody else, because they were the spiritual authority. Jesus shows up and messes them up. Jesus shows up as a suffering servant, a carpenter's son, ministered to people, touched lepers, went to places and to people that nobody else would go to. The Samaritan woman, they were outcasts, they were half-breeds, and they were despised by the Jews. And Jesus goes to this. Not only was she a Samaritan, but she was a woman as well. And Jesus goes out of his way to meet her. And he says, I've given you an example. This is how it is in the kingdom. God loves everybody. He's not a respecter of persons. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. People need to repent. America needs to repent. You understand the result? The reason why our nation is where it's at today is because of the church has gone to sleep. And while we've been asleep, the enemy has been very busy sowing seeds. And all of a sudden we wake up one day and we say, how did this all happen? Are you with me? Right? It didn't happen overnight. It just was secretly growing up. While the church is playing bingo on Friday nights. You know, many sermons today emphasize the love of God, but de-emphasize His judgment. You want to know why? Because Christian marketers that go around and they do surveys and they find out what people want to hear, not what they need to hear, but what they want to hear. And they came back with this conclusion. Well, if you emphasize the love of God but de-emphasize His judgment, people will come to your church. They're not saved. They're on their way to hell, but you'll have a crowd. And you'll have their money. And you'll be somebody special because everybody will say, wow, look at you. How about look at Jesus? Look what He did. Let's make it about Jesus, amen? And you and I, His servants, we have been given the great privilege of being called by His name to be sons and daughters. But we're sons and daughters that willingly serve our Father out of love and out of gratitude for all He's done in our lives, amen? It's not a burden, it's a joy to serve the Lord. See, the ones that are serving Him are saying, hey, amen! It is a joy to serve Him. Do you know what? You're not going to serve Him unless He's got the right place in your heart. You know, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he basically accused the people of murdering Jesus. That was a popular message, I'm sure. Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. You're judging. Jesus said, the words I speak to you will judge you in the last day. What you do with God's word is up to you, because He's not going to take away your freedom to choose. But understand this, that what you knew, and the man who knew the good he ought to do and didn't do it, to him, it is sin. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Acts 2:37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said, repent. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's a pretty good deal, huh? For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Do you not understand that you don't receive the Holy Spirit except by obedience? There are people who are speaking in tongues, but they're not speaking in tongues of angels. Amen? They're not speaking in heavenly tongues. They may be speaking demonic tongues because they've had an unrepentant heart and a lifestyle that doesn't match their confession. Because a tree is known by its fruit. But you want to receive the Holy Spirit? You've got to get into position for the Holy Spirit. You've got to humble yourself. You've got to repent. You've got to be willing to give up your life so that you might receive His life. You need to be done with your way so you can walk in His way. Amen. And that's where life and peace is in the Holy Spirit. It's in the will of God. That's the only thing, hear me today, that's ever going to complete and satisfy and complete you as a person is knowing that you are right with your God and with your Maker, that you are walking and living and abiding in His will for your life. That's the only thing that's ever going to complete you or satisfy the deepest longings of your heart is being right with Jesus Christ, being in that place where you and Jesus are yoked up together and you're doing life together. That's life and peace in the Spirit. That's the promise of God. That we'll be together in this. You've got to yield yourself. You've got to get into position. Amen. When a prophet or a priest or a king was anointed in the Old Testament, they had to get into position. They had to humble themselves. Amen. Get into position so that they would receive this anointing. What does it mean to us today? It means that we need to get our hearts right. We need to make a path in our hearts for His Spirit. Amen? Make every crooked place straight. A highway for our God. Where? In our hearts. God wants to possess your life with all that He is, all of His goodness, all of His fullness. But we've got to get in agreement with His will. We've got to make the place straight for Him. Amen? We can't be playing patty cake with the devil and expect to enjoy the life and the peace of the Spirit of God. We have all kinds of tribulation. He said you're going to have difficulties. You're going to have tribulation in the world. But you can have life and peace in the Holy Spirit that is higher and beyond the things that you encounter in this world. So in other words, even though your day may not be going good inside, internally, you can have life and peace in the Spirit because you're in right standing with the Lord. When you're right with God in your heart, then the things that are on the outside are not going to dictate the internal condition. If my heart's not right with God, then I'm susceptible because I'm an open target for the devil. Amen? I'm not armored up unless I'm in Christ. I'm abiding or continuing in Him, and then I'm armored up and I'm protected by the Lord. But if I'm not, if I'm rebelling and saying, God, I'm going to do my own thing. You want me to do this? I'm going to do my own thing. Well, you're a bullseye for the devil. The devil is just waiting for you to get self-confident and think that you can do it without God. Because when I'm strong in myself, I'm actually a weakling spiritually. And I'm no match for the devil. That's what happens. People get self-confident. They're doing good and they get self-confident. And they quit seeking God. And all of a sudden they get weak spiritually. And then the devil comes in and he takes them out. Yeah. Isn't that true? He just lulls you to sleep. He just wants you to think that you're doing all right. How many know that God is a better judge of that? How many are willing to say, Lord, what do you say? How is it really between you and I? I see some people, man, they're so worldly and full of the world and, you know, they're just indulging all kinds of fleshly things and, you know, they're not bearing any good fruit. But if you ask them, they say, oh yeah, me and Jesus are tight. Excuse me? A tree is known by its fruit. Oh, you're judging me. No, we're judging the fruit of your life. Folks, we need to live such good lives before the world that they don't have anything to point at us and accuse us of. They may lie about you. They may make up stuff about you. But before God, things are right. That's what matters. Amen? I'm not living to please people anymore. That was bondage. That was a prison. A prison of performance. You got people with their clipboards looking down over their glasses and examining you. And they're approving or they're disapproving. I'm free from that. I'm free. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm free from that. But listen to what he said about the promise. As many as the Lord would call. And look at verse 40 of Acts chapter 2. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be what? Saved from this perverse generation. That word perverse means twisted, warped, or crooked. Be saved from this crooked generation. Romans 12 says, no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That teenager has to be submitted. Amen. That teenager called the mind has to grow up. It has to be renewed in the knowledge. Amen. Of the Lord. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Together, the Spirit and the Word working, making you a complete person, a mature person who's able to reproduce. And so after this lame man, remember the lame man healed at the gate beautiful? And then Peter spoke this message from Solomon's porch. In Acts chapter 3, verse 12, he said, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? Folks, we're all tempted that way. When God uses us, when there's a miracle or whatever, the enemy wants to come in there and tempt you to make it about you. And people will do that. Sometimes I pray for people and they're healed and they'll say, thank you. And I said, you know, in the sense that, well, yes, I had something to do with it. Me and Jesus partnered together, but we know where it really came from. So we say thank you, but we give the Lord the glory for everything. Amen? That's how you handle it. You don't have to say, no, it was all God. No, because it was. It was you and Jesus together working. So true conversion is what we need. Amen? But he said this. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, verse 13, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And they killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him, Christ, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. And then what does he say in verse 19? Repent, therefore, and be converted. Now, what does repentance mean again? It means to what? Turn around or to change my mind, right? But then it goes and says, repent first and be converted. What does it mean to be converted? That your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know, we all know what it's like to have an emotional experience in church, if you've been in church at all. We've all gone down to the altar because maybe the speaker was really good and he made me feel really bad about myself. Now, if it's the Holy Spirit, that's a good sorrow. That's a godly sorrow. Amen? That you don't regret. If the Lord is drawing somebody, that's good. Because that means if they respond, they can be saved. They can be converted. So we've all been down there where we felt bad about something, or we got caught, or we're trying to get out of getting, you know, incarcerated for something we did, and we're all, oh God, help me, get me out of this mess. And so people come down and they respond emotionally to an altar call. But how many times do people go to an altar call and then they get up and they're completely unchanged, really? Nothing has really changed in their life. They just felt sorry. And often sorry for ourselves. Godly sorrow produces repentance. Godly sorrow means I change my mind. I know that I am a spiritual leper, if you will, and I'm contaminated and I'm a mess, and I want to get rid of this burden of sin. I want to get this junk off of me. I want it out of me. I want to be pure and holy and clean and filled with God's Holy Spirit. I'm tired of being tired and sick and worried and guilty. God wants to deal with the guilt and the shame in our lives. He wants to remove it. He's the one who validates. He's the one that says, you're free. Go and sin no more. True conversion, folks, begins with this realization of the damning effects of sin. It causes a person to frantically, you ever been there? Frantically search for a way to be free from the burden of sin, from the guilt and the shame and the regret over the past and the things that you've done that seem to nag you and eat at you. And you, some people, they just do dope, you know, and they drink and get high and to try to drown it out. Or some people, they can't live their life without music playing 24/7. They have to drown out everything in their life so that they don't have to face the fact that it's not right with my soul. God has a way sometimes of bringing us to a place, doesn't He, in our lives where you can't help but look up. There's nowhere else to go. All the artificial security blankets are gone. Now it's just you and your conscience. And God says, come. All you who labor are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Jesus wants to lift the burden. Jesus wants to set you free. Jesus wants you to know what it is to have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He went to the cross to purchase that for you, so you could have fullness of life, a new way in Him. For God so loved you. And He loves you right now, even in our mess, even in our failures. He loves us now. He loves us first. The cross was His idea, not mine. You see, conversion, like repentance, means to go in the opposite direction. But the difference between repentance and conversion is conversion means that there is a change in one's character. You have people that have a repentant attitude, folks. Hear me today. I believe Judas had a repentant attitude. Are you hearing me? At least he had regretted what he had done towards our Lord and betraying Him. But he tried to undo his problem his own way. He went out and hung himself. Repentance means I'm changing my mind. I'm turning around. But conversion means that my heart has changed. That my character has been changed. You understand? It's not enough just to be remorseful. It means that I surrender. I give up my way. I realize that I am a sinner and I'm worthy of hell and there's no other escape except to cast myself down at the mercy of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, and say, Jesus, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and receive Your justification from the only one who can justify you. Because the grace you give yourself will not save you. You may appease your own conscience for a while. People do good works just to appease their conscience. But that's all they're doing, is they're appeasing their conscience. But they're not dealing with the issues of their heart, because only God can do that. But you've got to be willing to let God in to do that. You've got to be willing to give Him your life, really give Him your heart, and trust Him with it. God wants to convert you. He wants to change you and I. He wants to make us like His Son, Jesus. Repent and be changed, be transformed, be converted. The Free Dictionary says something that is changed from one use, function, or purpose to another. Repent and be converted. Webster says the act or process of changing from one form or state to another. Changed from one form or state to another. So this is not just me turning over a new leaf, making a new resolution, getting another self-help sermon. This is me being changed, transformed by the power of God that is released through repentance. We're living in the last days. Time is running out. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage, life as usual. Life went on. Everything seemed to be the same. Nothing out of the ordinary. But then suddenly, time was up. The floods came and took them all away, except for 8 souls. Only 8 souls were saved in the entire world. And the 8 souls were all involved in the building up of the ark. All those 8 souls were the ones who believed God. And they lived for God. And they were spared. They were saved. That ark represents Jesus Christ and His will for your life. This time the earth will be renovated with fire. The Bible tells there's coming a day, the day of the Lord, a day of judgment, of dark gloominess and clouds. And there'll be perplexity of nations, and men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. And these frightful signs are happening all around us, folks. We haven't been touched directly maybe yet, but folks, it's coming to America. And it's time for you and I to wake up and get right with God, to turn to Jesus Christ, get on the ark of safety, get connected with Him, discover what His purpose is for my life, and start living for Him, and forsake your own way, because your own way cannot save you. We need to be changed. Only God can change your heart. Are you willing to let Him have all of you? Are you willing to trust Him? To surrender? Are you willing to let Him come in and touch you in those secret places? Are you willing to let Him have those pet idols in your life? You know I'm talking about, the addictions, the immorality, the pornography, the things that you're doing in secret, but He sees. Are you willing to forsake those things that you might get in position to be converted? And to receive His Holy Spirit, truly receive His Holy Spirit, and be saved? Are you willing to let Him have the old tree, that He might make you a new tree that will produce righteousness and peace and joy? Are you willing to let Him have all of you today? Jesus, Lord, I ask You to do a work in me. I ask You to do a work in everyone here. Lord, we give You permission. Right where you're at, I want You to do that. If you mean business today, you know it's not really right in your heart, but you want to get right with God today, you can do it. If you'll let Him do it. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died for me and You rose again for me. And Lord Jesus, I'm asking You to come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins, Lord. But I give You permission today to come into every area of my heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I give You permission to come in to every room in my being. Lord, I ask You to come in and I ask You to sweep it clean. Lord, I ask You to move out anything that is not of You. Root up any roots of bitterness, unforgiveness today. Hatred. Lord, I ask You to root out any spirit of lust. Spirit of fear. Jesus, I give You permission. Take over my life, my heart. Lord, You're invited to come into any place You want right now. Lord, You're welcome in the attic, in the basement, in the closet. Every area of my heart, Lord Jesus, I want You. I want You, Lord. I don't want me. I don't want my way anymore. I repent today, Lord. I want to be converted. God, I want to be changed. You're here today. You say, I want to be converted. I want to really know what it is to be converted in my heart. I've been playing with this thing and fighting and struggling with this thing long enough. I want God to change me. I want you to come up right now. Just come down to this altar and kneel before the Lord. Just do it. Just get up and come down here right now. I want to be converted. And Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm willing to step out for you and say, I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm not all that, but I want you to change me. Just come up and make your way down to this altar right now. God will honor you. You confess Him before men, He'll confess you before the Father. If you deny Him before men, He'll deny you before the Father and the holy angels. Just make that way right now. Just come down and say, Jesus, I want to be changed. I want to be converted in my heart. I want to be a new creation. Lord, I don't care what people think. I want to know that it's right between you and I today. Would you come down right now? God is tugging at your heart. Don't let that other part of you lie to you any longer. Don't let that evil part of you say and dictate any longer. Amen. Just obey the Spirit of God today. There you go. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to be changed. I think everybody ought to be down here, but I'm just going to leave it up to you right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's areas in your life right now you know that you're struggling with, areas that you need to commit to God. You need to break free from those strongholds and those chains. Maybe there's an addiction you're dealing with today. Just come on down and seek the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Jesus, Lord, Master and Savior, God and Redeemer. Anybody else, you're saying, I don't care what people think. I want to get right with God right now. And I'm going to come and I'm going to bow my knee before the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. I don't play some music, sweetie, would you? Just play. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Maybe you turn to a neighbor and say, maybe you need somebody needs some help today. Just to step out for God right now. Hallelujah. Jesus, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. I want to be changed. Lord, I want to be transformed. I want to be like you. God, I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And I want my heart to be in complete obedience today. Jesus, do it. Do a work in me. Do a work in me today, Lord. Hallelujah.